The ninth principle speaks about the uniqueness of Torah. It says that this Torah that Moshe transcribed is unique. There will never be another. One must neither add to it nor subtract from it, be it from the written law as the oral law. Neither add nor subtract from it. It says, we have elaborated, the Rambam says, on this principle in the introduction to this work. This is what he says in the commentary, that you're not allowed to add or you're not allowed to subtract. So the Rambam in his code says that this states that the commandments will remain binding forever with neither change, addition, nor subtraction. The Torah says, all this word that I command you keep to do, you shall not add to it nor subtract from it. All right? The Torah furthermore says, this command is not in heaven. From this we learn that a prophet can no longer add anything to the Torah. Therefore, if any prophet comes to alter the Torah, and this is where Christianity involves itself in, if any prophet comes to alter the Torah, which is the prophecy of Moshe, we immediately know that he is a false prophet. It does not matter whether he's Jewish or not Jewish. This is Rambam. How many signs or miracles he performs. If he says that God sent him to add or subtract the commandment of the Torah, to explain it differently than the tradition from Moshe, he is a false prophet. And the same is true if he teaches that the commandments given to Israel were only given for a limited time and not forever. In all such cases, we know that such a prophet is speaking presumptuously if he speaks in God's name, because God would have never told us, Hashem told us, that the commandment of the Jewish religion of Moshe that is for us and for our children forever. And as it says, the Rambam continues, Hashem is not a man that he should speak falsely. So there's just no way that that could change, because Hashem told it is forever. So now the question comes up, and this is the question raised by other religions. It says in Deuteronomy and Dvorim, I will raise up kamocha, Novi kamocha. I will raise up a prophet like you from among your brothers. So that verse would seem to imply that there is the possibility, or not the possibility, God predicted that he will raise up a prophet. So the Rambam says, the truth is that such a prophet will not be sent to start any new religion. A prophet only comes to command us to keep the Torah and warn people who violate it. That's what a prophet does. Navi kamocha, meaning the prophet will have the same mission as you, Moshe. Because we'll see there was no prophet as great as Moshe. But I will always have prophets who will stand up and amongst your brothers and urge them and teach them Torah. And this is what the last words of the prophet, the last prophecy is Malachi. And Malachi concludes his words with Zichru Teras Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe my servant. That means there will be prophets who will stand up and who will urge the acceptance and the fulfillment. A prophet may likewise come to tell us things that have nothing at all to do with commandments. For example, he might instruct us whether or not to go to war, to go on a journey, to build a wall, carbon things. In such cases, we should listen to the prophet. But Hashem said to Moshe that this, that Torah that I give you, is will be ours, right? And for us and for our children, ad elam, forever. Therefore, the Rambam says in his Yad that three are in the category of those who deny the Torah. One who says that God has exchanged his religion for another, or that the Torah no longer applies, even though it was originally from God. Now that we have many people that say that. The Christians and the Muslims say that God exchanged the Jews for the Christians, or for the Muslims, part of Islam. And the deviant sects amongst our people say that the Torah, although it was originally given from God, that it wasn't given for our generation. So we have to come face to face. And the true emunah is only if we accept these beliefs. That's why the Rambam repeats this again and again. Now, the question, however, still begs, what if Hashem would come and send someone, or if Hashem himself would come, can it be a possibility that God will come and say, all right, I've decided now we're in a new environment, new surroundings, I've decided now that we have to change certain laws. Let's say the Torah was given for an agricultural society, for a society, but now we're in a technological age with factories and so on. So maybe the laws have to change. Would we accept Hashem's, would God ever come? If he comes, do we have to listen to him? We know that if a person comes, person claims to be a prophet, and he goes ahead and he bears a prophetic message which commands the permanent abrogation of any precept, we call him a false prophet. The Rambam declares that a prophet can't even claim prophetic powers. Now what happens if he wants to come with his prophetic powers to resolve an ambiguity or a doubt which we have in the law? There we find, that means it's not changing the law. Let's say there are two groups of rabbis arguing, and a prophet comes along and tells you that this is the interpretation. So there are questions, but Maimonides says clearly that the klal, the principle of lo bishamayim, that heaven can never intercede in the explanation or even the clarification of the law that was given in the Torah once it was given to man, that's an absolute principle. That's how far he goes. And he also says that even if God would come to tell us this, it's not possible for God to come, because he says the Torah is harmonious and the Torah is perfect. Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh. The Torah, we believe, is harmonious and absolutely perfect. So he says that which is harmonious and perfect, it can only be marred if anything is added or taken away. So the law, you know, so therefore he says you obviously can't change it. The Albo, however, the Sefer Yikorim disagrees, and he said that we do find that divine law did indeed change, at least in a limited manner. The flesh of animals was denied to Adam as food, was permitted to Noah, in accordance with the changed nature and character of the recipients of this law. So under what circumstances can divine law be changed? So he answers briefly, and we'll go into a little more detail, that it has to be directly revealed by God. The veracity of any such revelation by God, he says, can be established in two ways. The prophet introducing any change must be greater than the prophet through whom the law was originally revealed. If there was a Noahite law, fine. But Moshe, who came at the time of Sinai, was able to give God's word to change that law, because that was the revelation in Sinai. There was no question, because 600,000 people saw it. In fact, the thought that I mentioned last time, I found just today in the, I never studied the Albo inside, I found here that he says the same idea concerning the question of when can you change a law. He says if any prophet would come, it's a higher grade. If the guy says he's greater than Moshe, it's impossible, except for the Muslim, Islam, you know, the other religions. But he says that's impossible, and should say that we should listen to him and abolish the commands of Moshe, not as a temporary measure merely. We will refuse to listen to him, because Moshe was a greater prophet, right? Now, if he comes and says that God sent him to abrogate, to permanently abolish the words of Moshe, he must not be believed. This is the reason why God revealed himself to all of Israel and spoke to them face to face, in order that Moshe's mission should be absolutely verified. That's what Hashem meant. So now, if Hashem would want to come along, true, if we can verify the mission of a new prophet as the mission of Moshe was verified, that's what we mentioned last time, we will refuse to listen to him unless he bids us abolish any one of the Ten Commandments which we ourselves heard from God. If he bids us to abolish. Why? Because there we heard directly from God. Even if theoretically you'd have someone greater than Moshe, we could only abolish that which we heard from Moshe, but not the Ten Commandments that we heard from God. But there is nobody who is greater than Moshe. So therefore, in this way, we can reply to our opponents who argue from the verse in the Torah where it says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. and I will put my words in his mouth. The Rambam said what that meant was to strengthen the words of Moshe. He says this verse signifies, they say, Christianity, that a law will be given through a new prophet as it was given through Moshe. Also, that from among their brethren means from the brethren of Israel. Our reply to these men is that, this is all the Sefer Yikorim Malbo, is that granting that according to the verse quoted, a prophet will come to give a law as Moses did before, signifies that his raising up and the verification of his prophetic vision, mission, which is a fundamental dogma as we have seen, must be the same kind as the verification of Moshe's prophetic vision, mission, which took place in the presence, like we said last time, of 600,000 people, so that there was no doubt and no suspicion of any kind. That means if the founder of Christianity would have come before 600,000 people, he says, granted, even if he would claim to be the problem of Moshe, but you'll say, but God sent him. If God sent him, let it come with the same 600,000 people and the same revelation to 600,000 people, so we'll know that this is the true prophet that is coming to preach or to change. But it doesn't happen. It didn't happen, and it can't happen. So if God, however, would come again, and he would reveal himself to 600,000 people, the Rambam seems to say that it couldn't be, because the Torah is absolutely perfect. God couldn't even change it. The whole idea doesn't exist. According to the Albo, perhaps it would exist, but you would have to have the same kind of a revelation that you had the first time. That would probably be the difference from both of these approaches. So these two principles basically are the most, for an Orthodox, a traditional Jew, these are the most important, really. Mashiach and Tchias HaMetzim we believe in, but that doesn't guard our life on this world, how we live here today, our everyday life. Our everyday life has to be on these two principles, that Zeis HaTorah Leitei Muchlefes, that God will never change it, and that every word that Moshe gave us is truth. And these are the eighth and the ninth principles of the Rambam.